Well, hello again, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, March 27th, 2023. This is In the Know, episode 67. Let me jump into some announcements for you. March the 29th, that is this Wednesday, men's gathering at Kevin Williams' house at 6:30. We will let you know what you can bring, if you can bring something, but we really encourage you to be there. Then the next week, I believe that's going to be April the 5th. It will be a women's gathering, location TBD, at 6:30. Now, Sunday, April 2nd, the Sunday that is closest to us that hasn't come yet, that was confusing, next Sunday, April 2nd, churchwide potluck after service. You can sign up to bring a dish at our Sign Up Genius. April 21st, that's a Friday, we are going to do the Love the Boot cleanup at 5:30 p.m. on Bayou Maria Road. And afterward, we're going to come and scrub off. And then we're going to do a free pizza Friday for the community. April 30th and May 7th, we're doing a joint technology conference with Kingsville Baptist Church. 5 to 7 p.m., childcare is provided. And we'll be in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We've done some longer texts. Most recently, the last two have been fairly long. I really didn't want to cut them up at all. I didn't want to cut them up any more than I did, even though they were kind of long. It's just these ideas all go together. And this one really does too, but we're shortening. I mean, this was what we planned to do, but we're just going to go 14, 15, 16. So that's three verses this Sunday. Okay. Now then, let's do some sermon follow-up. Let's talk first about fruit, not root. I will begin today's discussion with a couple of quotes from yesterday's Lenten reading, which was called, that chapter of the book that we're reading was called Christ Suffered and Died to Create a People Passionate for Good Works. This really is one strong indicator of whether or not we are in the faith. As I said last Sunday, if we want to gauge where our hearts are, we really kind of have to look at fruit. It won't be infallible, but it certainly is biblical to look at the fruit to determine the roots, right? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6, 44 through 48. A good tree bears good fruit, Matthew 7, 16 through 18. So John Piper writes, good deeds are not the foundation of our acceptance, but the fruit of it. Indeed, the fruit, not the root. This is exactly the right way to put it. Thank you, Piper. And then he continues, Christ died to make us zealous for good works. Zeal means passion. Christ did not die to make good works merely possible or to produce a half-hearted pursuit. He died to produce in us a passion for good deeds. Christian purity is not the mere avoidance of evil, but the pursuit of good. There are so many good points to be made in talking about these words, but let me zero in on that last statement. That describes the Christian life so well. We often think of the Christian life in terms of what we should avoid. But that is really only half, or maybe even less than half, of the equation. What we run to is just as important for us as what we run from. What we pursue is just as important as what we flee. We don't only avoid sin, but as justified and Spirit-indwelt men and women, as God's own children, we become zealous for doing all the good works we possibly can because we are both able to and want to please our Father in heaven. Faith is how we take hold of the imputed righteousness of Jesus. That makes us want to be obedient and also produces obedience within us. So let's take a look at what the New Testament has to say about the practical way a life of faith appears. Let's talk faith in action. If you take a look in the New Testament, you'll find that there are numerous places that speak to what the people of faith occupy themselves with. You'll see multiple places where the life of faith is illustrated in real flesh and blood, practical deeds. We are not left without an example and pattern, nor are we left to figure out what it looks like by ourselves. God graciously shows what a believing life increasingly looks like in His Word. Again, in the terms of what we said yesterday, He trains us to love righteousness and hate sin as we read His sharp, piercing, living, active, and discerning Word. So let's see if we can list some of these things out. Now, if you are someone who struggles, like I do, with keeping the list, let me encourage you to bear in mind, perhaps even remind yourself explicitly or pray about this before reading this list, what we said in the first paragraph. This is not the path toward earning your acceptance in God's presence or meriting God's love or favor or kindness. This is rather what it looks like when we rest in Christ by faith, when we lay claim to His all-sufficient merit. By the way, what a wonderful song. You should go listen to that after this too. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. Now, as I read these, I am not going to read the entirety of these scripture quotations. I have linked them in the newsletter. You can go look at those. You can click on the links, or you can look them up in your Bible and then read them and then look at what I've said about them, because I'm just going to draw some conclusions out of them. So there will be a couple of quotes here and there, but I'm not reading these whole passages. So 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Here is a command from the Spirit through Paul to be self-distrusting and to continually be assessing fruit. The believer does this. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And he says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Galatians 5, 19 through 24, Paul lays out what a life characterized by the flesh looks like and what a life characterized by the fruit of the Spirit looks like side by side. And so you can read those and say which of these more characterizes, if I'm honest, which of these more characterizes my life? Romans 8, verses 5 through 14. The life and mindset according to the flesh versus the life and mindset according to and led by the Spirit. Paul writes, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In this life of rest and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we must engage a fight against sin and for righteousness. Romans 6, verses 12 through 14. We are commanded not to allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies and not to present the members of our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness. In other words, don't use them for and give them over to that, but rather present them to God as members of righteousness because we're not under the law, but under grace. Here's what the battle with sin looks like. We fight not to present the members of our body for sin, and we actively pursue using our God-given strength and embodied existence for righteous actions. Okay, now let's look a lot at 1 John, three different places in 1 John. 1 John is a lot of times where people will go to receive assurance of salvation. It's one of those books that deals a lot with that. And so there are a few things that he talks about, and there are actually more that we're not going to talk about here, but here's one of them. 1 John 2, 4 through 6 and 3, 7 through 10. What is our life characterized by? Keeping His commands and making an ongoing continual practice of righteousness, or breaking his commandments and making a continual ongoing practice of sinning. This is going to tell us a lot about our state before God. 1 John 2, 9 and 10, and 15 and 16. We can tell much by what we love as well. What does our heart yearn for, and to what does it cling? Do we love our Christian brothers and sisters, those for whom Christ gave his life? We daren't say that we know God when we do not love his people. We would be lying. And do we love the world and the things of the world? If we do, it says the love of the Father isn't in us. We must guard our hearts against the love of the world and make a practice of seeking to turn our affections toward him and his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. 1 John 5:1. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do we honor and exalt him as such? Like, this actually does matter. We know faith is not only saying and believing the right things, but those things do really matter too. Loving the Father includes believing what he has said about his own Son. It doesn't matter what sort of good deeds we do if we say that Jesus, if we don't say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. In that case, we're no better than Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses if we get the theology wrong but try to do a bunch of good deeds. Christ is our only hope if we believe what the Bible says about his righteous life, atoning and substitutionary death, and glorious resurrection is true. If we don't believe this about him, we cannot and will not be saved. People who do not believe about the truth of Jesus do not love God, no matter what they say. And then you have Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. Here's a crystal clear picture of what life in Christ looks like. It involves putting off and putting on. We have our minds trained by the word of God. All right, verse 23, renewed in the spirit of our minds. And in putting on these virtues to replace the vices. What I also love about this whole passage is how Paul gives a vice to be put off, for example, in verse 29, corrupting talk, and a virtue to put on in verse 29, such talk as is good for building up, and a reason usually related in some way to the community of brothers and sisters around you. And so in that same verse, that it may give grace to those who hear. So he says, put off corrupting talk, put on talk that is useful for building up, is good for building up, so that it might give grace to those who hear. Your Christian walk looks increasingly like putting off characteristics of the old man and putting on the new righteous characteristics of the new man. And it has real, tangible, and God-glorifying benefits for your family of faith. We benefit from your righteousness and vice versa. It's beautiful. So take some time to make a sober self-assessment in light of the word. Ask God to search your heart with his word and reveal to you where you stand. And then no matter what the answer is, ask him to lead you toward repentance, faith, and righteousness. In this way, you'll end up allowing the living, active, sharp, piercing, and discerning word to have its way with you. And you put yourself in position to have no shame when you stand before him to give your account. All right, one final word. I often imagine what the final judgment will be like and what it will feel like. I'm not certain about these things. I mean, certainly we have some ideas from the word. We understand that we will stand before God's throne to give this account. And I do believe that all men and women will not only be exposed before him, indeed they already are, but they will see both his glory, his holiness, and their sin in clear, unmistakable terms. I don't believe any will find themselves able to mount a defense of their actions that convinces even themselves on that day. As a matter of fact, I have good reason to believe all mouths will be stopped in that regard by that glimpse of him. Unbelievers will simply wail in horror at the splendor before them as they consider their evil and their rebellion for what it is and has been. But for the believer, I like to imagine that our accounting will go something like this. I have nothing to offer you for my sins. I have nothing to say for them except that I am guilty of the high treason of having committed them. Yet I have this one thing to say. Christ alone is my hope, He is my righteousness. I have rested myself in him, and I have found him utterly satisfying and completely faithful. I have believed your own word about him, that he is an all-sufficient Savior, and that by my faith, he is my Savior. Thus, he is my plea. I have no hope of entering your rest except him. And that will be the plea of faith that will delight our Father, such that he would say, "Welcome, my child. Enter into my rest. Enter into the joy of your master." Christ alone is our hope now, and Christ alone will be our hope on that day of judgment. So in light of that, do all things to soften your heart to his word, to hear and listen to his word, and to live according to his word righteously by faith. All of this as you rest in his perfect, completed, righteous work. Have a great week. I love you, people.